The last time Bruce Dern was on our show, he looked back on a rich career that spans over 50 years as an actor in some 80-plus movies, which he'd written about in his unrepentant memoir called, appropriately, Things I've Said But Probably Shouldn't Have. Now he joins us for something even more exciting, something he definitely feels he should have done. His starring role is the tax attorney Woody Grant in Alexander Payne's latest film, Nebraska. And we have just learned that Bruce Dern has won the Best Actor Award from the National Board of Review for his performance.
I'm sitting in the little glass booth out there with Rona, who's my paramount person with me today, and she jumps up and gives me a hug because she just read on her little TV phone or whatever it is. That
we call them smartphones, Bruce.
Smartphones, right. That I had won, and I'm delighted and
surprised. Congratulations. Well, you shouldn't be surprised because although you've been in some pretty good films, great films, in fact, you've said that you've never been given a role this fabulous in your entire career. So what was it about the part of Woody Grant that was different from anything that you had considered, that you've been considered for in the past?
Well, I've always spent a long, many of the 55-year trip, whatever it is, playing quick at the trigger, and trigger seriously sometimes, at responding immediately to things and getting the jump on people and, you know, killing John Wayne, blowing up the Super Bowl, you know, those things, you know, were pretty
disastrous. You had a lot of fun, obviously.
Yeah, right. But what I loved about this was the detachment to him 24/7 of him. In other words, he's just what I'm not to the point yet that Woody is in the movie, but I'm sure working on it.
You're going to become you're going to change and not be a man of many words as you have been in the past?
A challenge, which was much needed.
Well, I was wondering if it was difficult to stay still for so long.
Well, no, because, you know, if you stand at home plate in Yankee Stadium, Woody, the character I play, his whole right field lights are out. They're gone. So you're playing just with right, center, and left. And so it's tough. But the thing that always the people in my family or life that I've come across who are in the same situation I am in the film, you're not quite sure, are they getting anything at all? And if so, what? And what did I just say that might have hurt their feelings?
Well, did you try to imagine what was going on in Woody's head for the long periods when he was silent?
Well, I don't think there's a lot going on. You know, a lot of people say, well, where do those people go when they go out there? And I don't think they go specific places at all. I think they're just looking for a kind of a nap without closing their eyes. And I think they just drift. And I think it's kind of like I didn't see gravity. But if you're in a situation like that, you're drifting. But you're
somebody's calling you to congratulate you.
Yeah, wish. I forgot to turn it
well,
on.
I assume Laura called you.
Yeah,
Laura,
just a second
daughter.
Ago. She called me from New Orleans. But I just, it was challenging, and yet at the same time, you get so excited when Alexander Payne sends you a piece of material, period. Because Laura starred in his first film, Citizen Ruth. So I've known of him for 18 years.
Yeah, but you've also been in films directed by Alfred Hitchcock, Ilya Kazan, Roger Corman, Quentin Tarantino.
Hal Ashby, Francis Coppola.
The pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
So what was it about Alexander Payne that made him special?
Two things. First of all, it all worked on the page when I saw it. When he sent me the material, the movie was right there.
Well, he didn't write this script as
no,
he has
but
written
he,
some of the others.
They sent it to him. Bob Nelson wrote the script, who is a Nebraska by femalytic inheritance, if you will. He moved to Seattle, but his people all grew up in Hardington, which is a little tiny town there. And they took it to Alexander. Well, they took it to Ron Yerxa and Albert Berger because they had produced Election, which was Alexander's second movie. And looking for Alexander to help them find somebody, young director, who could do it. And Alexander saw it and he said, I'm doing it. And that was great. And so what happened was 10 years ago this week, he sent me the material. So it took us 10 years to get to now. And in between time, he went off and he did Sideways.
And he did Descendants.
The Descendants. And there were two things that were hang-ups. Number one, he didn't want to do consecutive road trip movies. Number two, he wanted me. Number three, he wanted to do it in black and white. And black and white ended up being the severest of the issues for him to handle.
And yet people are praising it. Why are the people, the money people, afraid of a movie that's in black and white these days? Are they going to colorize it on Turner?
Well, when you shoot it, you shoot it with the Alexa in color, and then they I don't know the process of what it's called. I sound like a moron. They take the color out and make it black and white. But they have the color then to show in the European market, where Film Nation is the distributor and not Paramount. And I guess I don't know how that deal works out or anything, but Alexander knew the minute he saw the material it had to be black and white.
And it works that way. The photography looks gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
So the landscapes, I don't know whether they would look as good in color.
I don't think they would. It's very bleak out there, Len. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I grew up on the North Shore outside of Chicago in Winnetka and Glencoe, and when you go 150 miles west of Lake Michigan, it starts getting very black and white. But one of the great things about it, all the way to the Rockies, is the people, there is a sense of fairness, honesty, and pride in who they are. Because as bleak as it looks, they don't leave.
And Stacy Keach, who was on our show recently, has said that he loved Nebraska so much he didn't want to leave.
Oh, love the state, you mean?
Just being there in that part of the
Midwest. Well, he's a gambler like me, and we made a lot of money off of Nebraska in the last few years playing football, you know.
Had you ever worked with Stacy Keach before?
Yeah, we did a movie in which I won the Best Actor at the Berlin Film Festival for, called That Championship Season. And it was a big Broadway play. And then Jason Miller, who wrote it, directed the movie. It starred Robert Mitchum and Stacy and me, Martin Sheen and Paul Sorvino.
And now, as I've already announced, but I'm happy to announce again, you've won the Best Actor Award for this film from the National Board of Review. Yes. The film we're talking about is Nebraska, and we're talking with its star, Bruce Dern. The plot revolves around the fact that your character, Woody, has received a notice that he's been the lucky winner of $1 million sweepstakes, a la the Publishers Clearinghouse kind of thing, and he's determined to claim it by traveling from his home in Montana to the company's office in Lincoln, Nebraska. In the first scene, we see you trudging along a highway on your way to Lincoln. It's hundreds of miles away. Why did he have to walk there?
Well, because his family feels he's a bit irascible, a bit out of touch, and that the whole thing is a scam. It's just magazine subscription. It doesn't really happen. But being a fair man, as Woody is, he doesn't think people can get on national television and send things through the mail and say what they've said to me, that I've won it, unless it's so.
So he actually believes it because...
Oh, absolutely believes it. And if you look back a few years, God rest his soul, because he's a fabulous guy, Ed McMahon used to sell his stuff on television.
Did the shamble come naturally to you? Aren't you a runner?
Yeah.
Were you ever tempted to break out into a trot?
As Woody, you mean?
Yes.
I think Woody's running days are over. You know?
But you had to figure out how to do that shamble.
You mean the walk?
And, yeah. He almost seems to be stumbling forward rather than
Well, that all
walking.
Comes from being a runner, having run well over 100,000 miles in my life, which is four times around the world. I've had every injury that can cripple you forever. And I just went to those areas while I was doing the movie. I can't stand up well. I don't get out of a car well. I'm stooped a lot of the time. But if you and I were on the street right now, I said, let's go to the telephone pole and back, you know.
But to some degree, it sounds to me like you were typecast here. It took 10 years for this movie to wind up being made, and you were in the project from the start. Do you think that it would have been the same if you'd made it when you were 10 years younger?
No, I think both Alexander and I felt it was to the movie's advantage, although we never thought it at the time. But at 77, much older than I was at 67.
At least 10 years.
Right.
Is it true that before you accepted the part, you called Jack Nicholson for his input on Alexander Payne?
I called
he'd
two,
work with him on
called
about,
two
about
people.
Schmidt.
I called Laura because she'd done Citizen Ruth, which was
a brilliant performance.
Movie. Thank you. And she said, Dad, three things. I said, what do I get from him? She said three things. Love him. Believe him, follow him, simple truth. I called Jack. Jack said, well, Dernzer, you're going to get the best partner you've ever had in your career. And then you're going to get a guy who's going to go diva on you 1 hour every week.
And did that turn out to be true?
Yeah. No, not the diva part. He changes clothes on occasion two or three times during the day, which I had not seen before. You know, I'm used to Mr. Hitchcock that wore the same coat and suit for 62 days. So,
well, there's a whole family connection here. The woman who plays your wife is the actress who played Jack Nicholson's wife in About Schmidt,
right.
June Squibb.
Right.
She's every bit as brassy and volatile as your character is withdrawn. But you had to suggest that you had a really strong bond. You'd been married for a long time.
Well, I think in that part of America particularly, they don't divorce. They live it out. And whether that's destructive to the family or not destructive, they become pals. And the sexuality of a marriage and everything else can be gone. But the friendship and the bond between husband and wife just stays on.
Right. Even though she's throwing all these insults at you, we get the sense that there's a lot of affection underneath.
Oh, absolutely.
And also that you were once a catch, as we learn from another woman, a local newspaper owner,
right,
played by Angela McEwen.
Right.
And then, of course, there's Will Forte of Saturday Night Live fame, who plays your youngest son, David. David says at one point about Woody that he doesn't have Alzheimer's. He just believes what people tell him.
Well, that's it. And the girl then who answers that, who has turned us down in the office, says, oh, that's too bad.
So you were with him a lot because this really is a road movie. You're in the car for a large part of the time. You've had a lot more acting experience than he has. Did you hit it off immediately?
Well, what I like most about what Will did, Len, it's the first time I've had it done in my career. Outside of Jack Nicholson, Will is the best partner I've ever had in a movie. And the reason is his part is really the linchpin to the movie. And he sacrificed a way of working that has made him very well known and successful for 20 years in order to be a teammate and make Nebraska work. Well, that's what Nebraska is. It's a lot of fabulous teamwork brought together by Alexander, and Will knew it was essential to him that he change his style of acting totally in order to pull this off.
Because he's really representing us, the audience, to some degree.
Well,
in this.
Very good point.
Why doesn't Woody let people see who he is, despite what Angela McEwen's character knows about him? You think he's no longer that person?
Well, you know,
I mean, there's a lot of.
She tells how he went to Korea and came back, and he'd crashed being transferred. And you know, I had a bumper, a fender bender 2 weeks ago, and I don't know that I'll ever recover from it. So I can't imagine crashing in an airplane. I do know that I worked once with Jack Palance. And he said, you know, during the Second World War, I was flying and I crashed my plane. This is Jack Palance. And he was pretty on top of everything, you know. And I thought to myself, my God, and this is Jack Palance. And he did all that.
And you've worked with some pretty incredible people over the years.
Oh yeah, I've been lucky. Directors.
Shirley MacLaine in your first film, was it? Or
the first film was Montgomery Clift and Lee Remick and Joe Van Fleet, right, for Mr. Kazan.
Would you describe this film as a comedy? Because there is a lot of funny stuff in here.
They have an award. The foreign press has an award called Golden Globes, and they qualified Nebraska in the comedy musical category rather than the drama category. But Wolf of Wall Street is in that same category. So I think there's funny aspects to it. I think one of the wonderful things about Alexander is, particularly in Nebraska, is that he takes you on a journey. It unfolds at not a leisurely pace, but a slower pace than cut to cut to cut to cut. And at the end, it's kind of rewarding because everybody kind of makes it.
Well, he does get a certain amount of comedy out of when you and your many brothers are all in a room, mostly in silence, watching television. Were you ever afraid that... That might be seen as making fun of a lot of people who live in farm areas?
It's not farm areas. I'm from Winnetka, Glencoe, Illinois, and I had a guy who ran for president twice in my family in Adlai Stevenson, and a father or a grandfather who was the first non-Mormon governor of Utah and Secretary of War. And every year at the Rose Bowl, we would sit in front of the TV in Bruce McLeish, my grandfather's house, and nobody said a goddamn word. First of all, we didn't know what USC, UCLA meant, and they were always in the Rose Bowl, and then it was a Big Ten school. So we were just all kind of watching, rooting, but nobody ever said anything.
Well, I'm sure that was in a very different kind of house than the family house that Woody returns to in the movie.
Same dynamic, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're watching, on Thanksgiving, everybody watches Detroit and whoever they play.
Well, what about that scene where Woody returns to his house that is in really bad shape now, the house he grew up in?
Well, the wonderful thing about that's the hardest scene I've ever had to do in my career in terms of pulling things out of myself that are extremely personal, which is the way I've always acted. But the wonderful thing is, in the script, there are two lines that I have in the movie, but one is in that scene that I used to have to invent stuff like this in movies I did. This is on the page. And that is...
You mean you used to improvise, Bruce?
Oh, my God. Without improvising, I'd still be on Days of Our Lives. I was never on it, but that'd be the best I could ever done. And it's just that she says to me, I say, this was my room. And the wife says, this is where Woody's little brother David died. And Will says to me, do you remember that, Dad? And there are 100 answers could have been done. But the answer written for me was perfect. Because he says, you remember that, Dad? And I say, I was there. Who says stuff like that? And this was already on the page. And that's why you run to work for Alexander Payne, you know.
You receive any good scripts recently?
Well, that was only a year ago today we were shooting that. So I'm kind of hoping the phone rings now, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you will be honored tonight at BAM at 7 p.m., also, speaking with Time Out New York's Josh Rothkopf following a screening of Nebraska. We are told that it's technically sold out, but then again, you never know. There are always a few seats that are available.
I'm always interested in the size of the gym. I mean, are we talking 100 or 10,000?
It's a large, but it's not Radio City Music Hall. But again, congratulations on winning the Best Actor Award from the National Board of Review. I suspect there'll be some more awards along the way for you and the film Nebraska, which is being shown in theaters around town. Bruce Stern, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Well, thank you, Lynn, for having me back. I wanted to do it very badly, and I was hoping you'd ask, and you did.